Hello, welcome to the Photo Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all of the photo news of the week and the gear and the reviews and that kind of stuff. And then we're going to take some of your questions. If you've got a question for us, send it to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com and I will do my best to get it answered. We've got an interesting set this week, actually, quite good. We've also got a competition. If you would like to win one of these, thanks to Digital Glue and Datacolor, we've got two Datacolor Spider 10s to give away. They are yours to have. All you've got to do is go onto YouTube and type in British Tech Network, find our YouTube channel and subscribe to us and like the photo show. If you've subscribed and liked, then you will go into a draw to get one of these. There's two to give away, and this is the best screen calibrator I've ever used in my whole life. I have used loads. I buy this kind of rubbish all the time, and then this is not rubbish. I've had other stuff that's been pretty good at the time, but this is brilliant. So watch out for the end of the show, and you could win this. Right then, start off with the news. First news story then, the National Archive in America has been caught doctoring photos, particularly because they noticed that Trump's name was used. So the National Archive in America is a government agency that preserves the documents of the country, if you like. Everything that the US government produces and any historical records that it thinks are important to the life of the nation. Government-funded body. So there you go. But they've been caught doctoring images to give Trump a more favourable ride. So the image that's particularly been noticed is this one. This was a women's march in Washington, D.C. on January the 21st. I think it was the day after Trump was inaugurated. And there's a whole pile of banners. And they noticed that there's one in the bottom left-hand corner, if you look at it. There's one there that says, God hates Trump, which may be true. I don't know. But they've on the photo that they're held in the National Archive, they have doctored it so that the word Trump is removed. Now, to be fair to them, they do this an awful lot because there's young children go around in there and that type of thing. So they've said that things like, that thing, there was the word vagina was used, and they've blurred that out as well because young children may not want to see that. So there's an awful lot of stuff that's been taken out, and they do regularly do this on images where they think there might be some contention. Miriam Kleinman said that as a non-partisan organization, they weren't interested in creating or dealing with any controversy. So removing words has become the focus of the viewers' attention, has been something that they've done for quite a long time. It's not just the Trump. They've been taking other things out that could show bias or could show something negative, get them in trouble. Sorry, Miriam, but it's too good a story to miss. This is a Fujifilm X-Pro3. Now, if you've got one of these, you'll have paid a pretty penny for it, and it's a great little camera, I have to say, from the reviews that I've seen, but there's been an issue reported. So a French guy has noticed that the electronic viewfinder, if you look into it, suddenly goes almost completely white, so it makes it completely useless to use. Fujifilm are aware of it, so you need to get in touch with your stockist or the person that you bought it from. Now, the interesting thing is that the LCD on the back is not affected by this, so it maintains a perfect image. But if you look through the electronic viewfinder, it washes it out, almost like the screens have been damaged. Fuji do say that a small percentage of X-Pro users may be suffering from this. It's not a widespread problem. I think it's probably a firmware fix, to be honest. I don't think you're going to have to take this back and get it replaced. We'll have to wait and see. But someone said that it's suddenly done it. So if it's suddenly done it, that's pretty usually a software fix rather than a hardware fix. It didn't say whether it was permanent or not in the article. So he hasn't said it's done it and then it stayed that way. I got the impression from reading the article that it's done it and it keeps doing it. So hopefully that'll just be a simple fix. This is Bernadette Draffin. Poor old Bernadette. She's an Australian wedding photographer and filmmaker, and she is suing an equestrian centre and styling company in Brisbane after she was photographing a wedding and she slipped on a sash that was on the back of a chair and that had come loose off the guest chair. She took a tumble and damaged her knee. The amount she's suing them for is $500,000, $577,164 to be precise. That's $100,000 for lost income in jobs that she's done. She's getting well paid. I should be a wedding photographer. And $258,000 for potential future earnings. I don't know if you can do that or not, but we'll have to wait and see. She's had to hire an assistant to help her, with the jobs, and that's costing her $1,500 for every wedding. That's an awful lot for an assistant. So I don't know. I feel sorry for you, mate. I've got to say, jumping up and down railway lines, I know myself, if I go to pick up a little twinge or something like that, it soon finds the injury and makes it worse. So I can only sympathise here. She has probably got a right old rum deal of it trying to get her job done. But $500,000 for a knee, that's a lot of money. Can't see that coming through. Get well soon, Bernadette, and let us know how you get on, eh? This guy is an Instagrammer. His name's Vitaly Zodorovsky. And he said he spent 5 days in an Egyptian pyramid. 5 days in an Egyptian jail after being caught climbing the Great Pyramid at Giza. So that's the really big one. And he's gone up the outside. He did post a picture of him. Someone else must have taken this. Climbing up, and then a security guard chasing after him. So he got all the way to the top, but then they caught him when he came down. They shoved him in jail, and he's had 5 days in jail. And he said, he got a good view when he was up there. That looks really nice. He said, no words can explain what I just went through. Because don't forget, Egyptian prisons are renowned for not being the easiest of places to be. In the past 5 days, I was locked up in Egypt because I climbed the Pyramid of Giza. I've been in jail many times. Yeah, that tells a story. But this one was by far the worst. I saw horrible things. Oh, dear. And I don't want to see any... I wouldn't wish this on anybody. Is it worth it? Hell yeah. Different word. I did it for a good cause, and soon I'm going to share the whole video so the whole world can see. It's interesting what the good cause is, but apparently he runs a soft porn site. So that might be the good cause that he's going for. There you go. Your name's in lights. 15 minutes is over. Bugger off, mate. Heathrow is getting itself a state-of-the-art, one-of-a-kind anti-drone system. Now, if you've got a drone, something like DJI has got a little map in there, and it's got the exclusion zones in, and it won't actually let you fly it if you're in the exclusion zone. But Heathrow has got this system coming. It's been developed for them by a firm called Avalant. Now, I read the story and I got the impression that Avalant sell this system, so it's hardly one of a kind, is it? But it's quite interesting because it says that it can detect the drones with things that are placed around the airfield, and it can also pick up where the person is who's flying it, the pilot, and then it can relay the information back and they can direct police to where it is and that kind of stuff, and you could be in big trouble. If you fly a drone within the exclusion zone of 5 kilometres or whatever it is, from the airport, you could get 5 years in prison, so it's well worth it. I don't know if this is a bit of just kind of BS. It just, the way the story was written, it feels like it's like, yeah, we've got this really great system, and if you fly a drone near us, then we'll catch you and we'll go to prison for 5 years. It'd be great when it's installed, but it's not installed at the moment, so that'd be great. I'll wait and see that one. I'll wait for the first prosecution that they take. That'd be interesting. Not a lot of no's this week. That was it. Sorry. So now we'll do the gear. First gear story. Now then, would you buy a camera that only did monochrome, black and white? This camera does nothing else other than do. This is the Leica M10. It is, it's a very Leica looking camera. Their stuff is very austere and quite bleak, I have to say. But it is a monochrome camera. It does nothing else but shoot black and white images. Now, how much would you pay for a camera that only did that? Because they're charging you $8,295 for it. Holy hell. It's a 40 megapixel camera. It's body only. There's no lens coming with it for that. And there's not even a lens package or anything like that. The ISO range is quite interesting because it goes from 160. So it's a lot of other cameras will go down to the 50s or to the 100s. Starts at 160, goes up to 100,000. And I showed a picture of that. And it actually does get quite grainy quite quickly. It's got touchscreen controls and it's got really good Wi-Fi on it. It doesn't shoot video either. So for £8,250, you are not getting video. You are not getting a lens. And you're not getting any colour either. Leica, justifying it, have said, it's a long-term companion that delivers unparalleled experience on impeccable image quality as timeless as the classical black and white photos it creates. Right, a few pictures of it there. The images it's taken and the ones that are on the website, they look gorgeous. They absolutely look gorgeous. But I just, someone said to me this week, what have you got against Leica? I got nothing against Leica. I'm sure that the stuff is incredible quality. I've never owned one, and I've only used one a couple of times, and it was lovely. It takes great pictures. But I'm just thinking, for what I could do with $8,500 plus a lens, you know, you could buy a 1DX, which I really would use, and I'd use the hell out of that for $6,000. I just can't see that Leica, I know they're handmade and all that kind of stuff, but I just can't see that they're delivering enough to warrant paying $8,250 for it. So, if you sell a few, well done, mate, well done. But this is quite interesting. This is the other end of the spectrum, because if you've got Hasselblad, you know Hasselblad from years old, and they're very good quality medium format cameras. Now, they got cameras that you know, are $35,000 a piece, but they're worth every penny. They're big, medium format cameras, massive quantities of pixels in it. But this is something that fits their X1D camera. Now, the X1D camera is only 5,500, and it's a medium format camera, so it's really, really good. I quite like this. This is a lens, XCD 445. It's a lightweight lens that's designed to go with the lightweight body of the one X1D. It's got a very short focal length, so you can get in really close to shoot stuff with it. It's only 47 centimeters long, doesn't stick out much, and it only weighs 320 grams. And it's nice. It's fixed focal length at 45 millimeters, but it looks superb. I like it. I love that body. I've got to say, price no object. I mean, yeah, I've got better things to do with $5,500 than buy a Hasselblad, but price no object. I would buy one of these cameras. They take amazing images, I'm sure, and I would use it regularly because of the form factor of it rather than the big Hasselblad at 35K. Who am I kidding? At 35K, money no object, I'd buy a Hasselblad. But if that gets me into the medium format market, for $6,000, that's really, really good. That's not bad at all. A medium format's well worth it. I do like that. There's something about that I really do want to see. Right, next one is Edelkrone. Now, Edelkrone, their stuff is amazing. I've got a sad fact of constantly looking at Edelkrone stuff, and I lust after it a little bit, I have to say. And it is gorgeous, but it's pretty pricey. Okay. Now, this thing, though, I think they might have hit quite a good spot here, apart from one thing. This is the Jib 1. It is a moving camera jib, but it's a motorized moving camera jib, and all of the stuff that you see here in the center of the image is motorized. You can slide the weights backwards and forwards. You can tilt it and tip it. You can run programs through it. It interacts with an iPhone application. It runs off LP6 batteries, so all of your Canon batteries that you've got left over from something will still power it. It looks amazing. At the top, you've got a head. Now, that head that's on it is called, and I need to make sure I get this right, the Head Plus. Now, that's a motorized head that does all kinds of things, including zoom and loads of other stuff, and movement and tilt and rotation, and it'll do rotation of tracking and all those kind of things. And the shots that they get with this on the video are amazing. I absolutely adore it. I think it's brilliant. The Jib 1 itself, the basic thing is it doesn't include the tripod on the bottom, but the interesting thing is it doesn't include a head either. So what you see here in this picture is the basic setup that you get. You will get a flat, bog-standard head that the camera screws into, and you'll get the motorized arm that moves up and down. Now, I was expecting to pay a couple of grand for this, but this is £1,100. So that's pretty cool. If you want the Head Plus to go with it, which does all the whizzy-woo stuff, then that's another £1,800 on top of it. So you're talking paying nearly £3,000 for this thing to work the way it should, which actually, I suppose, if I'd have thought about it, I might have paid about £3,000 for this. The shots are incredible. The flexibility it's got is unbelievable. And the iPhone app that you use to control it is good as well. I'm blown away by it. Again, money no object. I think I'd definitely be having one. But unfortunately, I've got better things to do with £3,000 than buy one of these. But it is superb. Really, really nice. It's not $1,100. It's $999. My mistake. It's the and the Head Plus is $1,799. The other thing that was nice is it comes in a little bag, and the bag looks really maneuverable and carryable. It doesn't look particularly heavy. It's only 5 kilos in weight. So actually, you know, you add a tripod to that, don't you? But I think this is brilliant. Really good product. Well done, Edelkrone. And not a horrific price, which a lot of their stuff is quite expensive. That's a picture of the really expensive head. Yeah. Wish I had that. But no, I haven't. Sorry. Now, Wacom have got some great tablets. There's loads of tablets out there from them. Some that have got screens in, some that are just pure tablets that you have to rely on looking at the screen ahead of you rather than looking at the image that you're manipulating on the screen itself. But this one is a screen. So it actually has the item that you're editing on the screen in front of you. It's released at CES last week. So that's normally the no price, no date show. But it has. It's a 13-inch screen at 1080p resolution. So it's not massive in terms of resolution, but it's okay. It's got a little folding stand that kicks out the back there, and it's also got a little clamp that holds the pen onto it. Now, the interesting thing with the pen is a lot of these things, you have to charge the pen up so that they work. If you look at the Apple Pencil, you have to charge that up so that it works with the iPad. This doesn't require that. So all the power emission and all the functionality of the pen comes from the interactivity with the screen. The pen just sits there. Brilliant. There's some proprietary device there. I don't think you can use your finger instead or any other device. But it works. It's $399 or £359. And it's available for pre-order on Wex right now. So if you go to Wex Photographic, you can buy yourself one of these and it'll come out in a couple of weeks and you can get a hold of it. I like that. And I think at the price, it doesn't do anything else but edit images and that kind of thing. Whether it interacts with your Photoshop or that kind of thing, or Lightroom, I'm not entirely sure. But it works. It works with Mac, it works with Windows, and it works with Android. I think probably it does actually just run your screen from those. But whether it needs an app or not to do it, I don't know. The article didn't tell me, and there's no specs to show how it works. But it looked really nice. And in terms of price point, Wacom can do some stuff that's really expensive, and this didn't seem that expensive. And the last one of the gear that we've got, this is the Tether Tools Air Direct. So this is a wireless transfer system. Now, you've probably got wireless built into your camera if you've bought a camera in the last year or so. But this is a separate device that actually interacts with your applications. So instead of just doing it on a Wi-Fi network that then you have to put a proprietary app on and find it, and it puts it in your find of folders and that kind of stuff, this actually works directly with Capture One or with Lightroom itself. So if you open Lightroom, you're straight in, and your RAW images and your JPEG images will go straight into Lightroom and Capture One. Dual band, so it's 2.4 gigahertz or 5 gigahertz, and it will get your stuff straight in. It is compatible with, out of the box, Nikon, Canon, Sony, Panasonic, Fujifilm, Olympus, Leica, Hasselblad, and Phase One on medium format as well, which is really kind of cool. They've got another app as well that's their own. So if you've got any of those other cameras, they'll work straight with Lightroom and that kind of thing. But if you want it to work with the app for Air Direct, then that only works with Canon and Nikon cameras, which I thought was a bit weird. $329 if you want to buy it from the company's website. You have to buy it from the company's website, though, at the moment. There is nowhere else to go and get this in the outlets. And whether the price is going to hold at that amount, it feels a bit steep, I have to say, but not bad at all. It'll do. It's all right. Right, so if you want to win yourself one of these data colours, Spider 10s, all you've got to do is go to YouTube, type in British Tech Network, subscribe to us, like the photo shows, and we will put you in a draw to get two of these. We've done this through a promotional firm here in Birmingham called Digital Glue, who are an absolutely lovely firm. I think they're wonderful, and we've done a fair old bit with them in the past. So if you'd like to do it, make sure you get on there. Go to YouTube. Also, thanks to TSO Hosts for making this possible. If you would like to support us, then you need to support them as well. So go on to the socials and type in thanks at TSO Hosts for supporting at British Tech, because we wouldn't be able to do any of the shows. They pick up all the bandwidth. We've got servers that go back and hold the shows right the way back to when we started in 2008. So they're brilliant. Love them to bits, and please check them out. Now, if you're a photographer and you've got a Mac, or you've got yourself an iPhone or something like that, then if you've dropped your iPhone and it looks like this, then you're going to need it replacing. And we've got another sponsor with us at iMendMax, and they will do work to repair your iPad, your iPhone. They will also repair any Macs that you've got. And what's nice is if you've got a Mac that's over 5 years old and Apple won't touch it, these guys will. And they'll do micro soldering on the logic board. They've got a big like pair of, the things that you look at in labs, that kind of stuff. They've got those and they can get in and do really, really fine repairs to it. So check them out at imenmax on Twitter. Say again, thanks for supporting At British Tech, because that'd be wonderful. And Callum, Joe and Mo down there will get in touch with you. They do data recovery as well. And we did have a photographer mentioned today on Twitter about losing some files. And we've put them in touch with imenmax as well. They do data recovery. So please check them out. And if you go, make sure you mention British Tech, because if you mention British Tech, you get a discount. Okay. Right, time for your questions then. First question's from Gary. He says, are there any regular photo competitions that you suggest people enter to get them taking pictures with a purpose rather than just taking snaps? We used to run the Fancy Photo League, and I used to set topics that were actually quite broad. You know, you'd use the word like edge and you could get anything out of edge, or you'd say self and you could get anything out of self. If you can find stuff that does that for you, then that's fine. I'm not adverse to setting topics if we wanted to do it, but I just hadn't got the time to sit and do all the judging and the comments and that kind of thing. Wex Mondays is the obvious one, I would say. If you go onto Twitter and if you've taken a photo within the last 7 days, you can type in hashtag Wex Mondays and you will get entered in the competition for that. And you can win yourself some prizes of it. That's fine. Damo's helped me out here. So thanks to Damo for filling these in the document. expertphotography.com, they do a competition. It's the Rolls Royce of photo competitions, he says. But there you go. And there's Photo Crowd and Bug View. They do that as well. You need to start liking and keep it active. Bug View tends to send lots of emails to you when you join, whilst Photo Crowd does less. If you look at the top photographers, then you'll recognize names from other sites, so they're not all rubbish. Wex Mondays, he mentions. Share Mondays 2020 is another one as a hashtag, and FS Print Mondays is for photos taken Friday to Sunday as well on the Photo Seed app. Appico of the week, chances to win and feature as an amateur as well will get you out there. Now, the other thing is that Ian Lewis, who's a great contributor to the network and who's helped me with the doc in the past, he's done an article this week and put it on his blog. It's at ianlewisphoto.co.uk. And there's some really good points in there. I've read the article. And one of the things that he ends up with is he says he ultimately gets disheartened because he throws his life and soul into the pictures and shoots something that he thinks is amazing. And then it doesn't even get a mention. The thing you've got to bear in mind is if you are going to enter photo competitions, it is a bit of a popularity contest. So certain people will rise and will keep getting likes from people, keep getting retweets and that kind of thing, just because of who they are. The other thing you've got to bear in mind as well, that if you look at photo competitions, it's down to the judges and whether the judges actually connect with the image. So I used to do a show with Carrie Holtzman called Computer America years ago, and I was their photography expert. I used to dial in at 3 o'clock in the morning from UK and give advice to people who were on a phone in. And one of the guys came in and said, you know, how come, seriously bad photos win photo competitions? And we mentioned last week about people stood in council houses and that kind of stuff. Well, one of the things that he showed me was a photo competition that he'd entered, and it was a picture of a little lad with a towel tied around his neck like he was a superhero, and a group of old people lying in sun lounges behind, all in black and white, and he got like this pose on. And he said, you know, how's that won a competition? And I said, you know what, that really speaks to me, because when I was a kid, I used to run up and down in the garden, and we got quite an old family. So my grandparents would lie on sun lounges in the garden watching me play and shouting encouragement and stuff. So actually that speaks to me. And that's the thing you've got to remember, is if you're going to enter a photo competition, if your image speaks to the judges, you'll do really well. If it doesn't and someone else's does, then you won't do so well. And the one thing you've got to do, and Ian says this at the back of the article, he beats himself up over it, is don't beat yourself up over it. If someone doesn't like your image, it doesn't mean it's a bad image. It's just a different image, and it just wasn't the time of day. It wasn't the right time of year. It didn't say the same things to them as other images did. It doesn't mean anything. Your images, pass your own tests, be your own judge, be your own critic, and you'll do far better than if you worry about trying to satisfy someone at the other end that you're never going to meet anyway. Question two from Damien. What do you think of the Canon M200? Which magazine gave a plug for it and said it was very nice to handle? So if you've not seen it, now let me just see if I can have a pull up a picture of it. I don't know if I've got it. No, I haven't got a picture of it. If you want to look at it, so this is a little tiny camera. I'll superimpose a picture over on the final edit. But it's a very small body camera. There's no hand grip on it or anything like that. The controls are very basic. There's a little pad at the back for your thumb to sit on. Rolly wheel. In terms of my big pork sausages, it'd probably be quite difficult to handle. It also only deals with its own M series set of lenses. So there's a few bodies in the M series from Canon. And I've got to say, when I looked at it to start off with, I kind of didn't get why Canon had done it. The M series set feels like it's them trying to challenge the Micro Four Thirds market. A lot of the lenses are really cheap. What the quality's like, I don't know because I've never used them. And the bodies are quite cheap. The M200 comes in at about £500. If you look at the feature set on it, it's actually really good. There's nothing wrong with it. But the thing is, for another £100, you can go up to the next body up, which is a lot more DSLR kind of feel, and it works. And it's got all the features that the other one's got. So for £100, it's not a lot more. And also, if you look at the one that it's replaced, which has just gone back, which is still on sale below that, it's £100 more expensive than the one that it's that was before. And that does exactly the same feature set almost. So I don't know why they've upgraded it. The problem you'll have is that the M-series cameras only fit the M-series lenses. So you've got to buy an M-series lens. So you're stuck in another little ecosystem away from the Canon lenses. And you say, oh, okay, well, you could buy an adapter. And you can get an adapter that will let you put your EF lenses on as well. But, you know, if you're talking about putting a 70 to 200 mil EF lens on the end of this tiny, tiny little body, it's really poor. The video is quite good on it. I've looked at that and that looks really excellent. The only thing that's weird is it shoots 1080p and it shoots this beautiful 1080p image. And then if you put it on 4K, it seems to just zoom in and crops the image quite markedly. So you're going to have to pick your stuff up and move further away to get the same frame angle. It's £500. It's a good little starter camera. You've got the interchangeable lenses. It does kind of rival the Micro Four Thirds market a little bit. But if it rivaled it and it did a little bit more within the Canon ecosphere, I'd understand it. What I would use it for is because it's really tiny, you can get pancake lenses for it, is if you've got a gimbal on a drone or something like that, it wouldn't have to be a massively powered drone to carry this underneath. It would be fairly light. And the autofocus on it is stunning. It's got eye detection on it rather than just face detection. So you'll get really good autofocus on it. And the lenses are really super fast and snappy with the autofocus. That really impressed me. Would I buy one? No, it's not even close to being a camera that I'd want, but would I recommend anyone use it? It's a nice camera. There's nothing wrong with it. But if you were pushing out £500 and I said to you, well, hang on, push out 600 and you can have a DSLR type feel body with the same lenses on it and it would do just as much, I think you'd probably go for it. If you're looking for that compactness day out, because it's an interchangeable lens camera, you've still got a length on the end of it. So it doesn't solve that in terms of being a day-out camera. The little flash is really tiny and piddly as well. I can't believe that'll do a decent job. But have a look at some of the reviews and have a look at some of the YouTube reviews on it and see what you think. But it's a great value for what it is, but I don't get why the M series actually even exists in the first place myself. So we'll see. Last question comes from Vanessa. I actually got this morning. I went to a networking group and she came up to me and she said, hi Ewan, I'm a florist and I'd like to get better images of my arrangements before sending them out to customers. Whilst I'd love to hire someone to do a proper shoot, I'm afraid that I only need to do it myself for now. Do you have any tips for getting great images of my flowers? Now her name's Vanessa, she's from a company called Floral Jazz. If you go to floraljazz.online, then you can see her work. She is amazing. She is really, really good. And I can thoroughly recommend her. So she's a lovely lady and she's talented at what she does. So if you want flowers, floraljazz.online, and make sure you say I sent you, eh? That's good. Right, getting images. I think you've got to be really careful with shooting images, because if you want images for your Instagram account, then you'd probably be better off putting the images in settings. So dot them around the house and then take pictures of them. If you're going to do stuff around the house, make sure you tidy up. Make sure that the background is quite abstract. If you can, knock away the background so it's a lot more blurred, so it highlights the flowers better. But the big thing is add light. You've got to be putting light on these. So get yourself a couple of little LEDs that don't have to be expensive, 15 quid maybe, and get those up either side and light it quite evenly. You're not looking for massive amounts of light and shade on it. You want to highlight the flowers. And don't forget, they're going to create lots of shadows. So get them the lights a little bit further back, buy a bit stronger. That'll diffuse it slightly, and you should get a more even light across the display. Think about your background. If you don't want to do that, then get yourself go out to the rag market, where you can go and buy rolls of material. Have a look at the materials that are out there and get yourself something that's kind of interesting but doesn't detract from it. So like a grey, but that's got like a mottled pattern through it, or a black that's got really highly absorbent for light and that kind of thing. And then you've got different backgrounds to put different setups on. You got to choose, I think. That's the key, Vanessa. But the key part is add light. But you don't need to be spending shed loads of money on lighting equipment. Just get yourself a decent phone camera. So if you've got a crappy old 10-year-old Android phone, it ain't going to do a good job. You're going to have to get yourself a decent iPhone. But if you've got one, just add light to it and you'll start getting really good images. Think about your backdrop. Think about knocking it out. If you've got the iPhone, use it in portrait mode, because then that allows you to take the background down to really blur out. But you should be able to get some fairly good images. Add light. That's the big kit. Add light. If you've got a question, send it to us at britishtechnetwork@gmail.com and I will do my best to answer it. That's the end of the show this week. There will be another show next week. We're back on Fridays if you want to watch live. But get your questions in, and don't forget to like and subscribe on the YouTube channel if you want to win a screen calibrator. 300 quid's worth of screen calibrators going, so well worth it. Have a great weekend. See you next week. Thanks for listening.